It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country. Dan Berger back, of course, and this is very exciting. It's been 50 years since 1969 that Cuvaison Winery in Napa has been around doing amazing stuff. And joining us from Cuvaison, Steve Rogstad, the winemaker, and Dan Zappone. Guys, good to see you.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, congrats on 50 years, man.
Yeah, we made it.
Give us the story on Cuvaison.
Well, the story starts back in 1969. If you look at Napa Valley and the wineries in 69, it was really cutting new treads out there. And I like to say our claim to fame is when you look at wineries today in Napa Valley that are still producing wine that were here in 1969, there are only 16 wineries.
Yeah, and we're one of them. I believe that.
There's a very small version of that that are actually still family-owned, independently-owned wineries.
So how did it all start in 69? And who started it? And
well, like all great wineries, a couple of crazy engineers got together and decided that they wanted to make wine. And it was started by Thomas Cottrell and Thomas Parkhill, who were both optical engineers and decided to get into wine.
Wow.
And they were home winemakers. And as a matter of fact, Dan and I were just talking in the hallway, and I had the Cottrells and the Parkhills out at our 50-year anniversary party last weekend.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old are they now?
Older than 50.
I would think so. Yeah, this wasn't prenatal 80s. Work for them when they started. Wow.
Yeah, it was great. And actually, it was bookends. So Thomas Parkhill signed bottles and Steve Rogstad signed the bottles. Those are our bookend winemakers over the last 50 years.
And your role, again?
I'm the CEO and president of Cuvaison.
He's your boss.
Yes, he's my boss. Yeah.
Which means I don't do much of anything.
So, Steve, how did you get started in the wine world?
The normal way. I studied literature and then moved to France and fell in love with wine while I was living there and decided to pursue that. And I had a good friend from University of Washington, where I went to school, who was going to take over his father's derelict vineyard in Walla Walla, Washington, and start his own brand. And it was through him that I learned.
Oh, derelict wines. I've had some of them.
Yeah. So I found out about the University of California, Davis, through him, and I moved to California, and I've been here ever since.
Where'd you grow up?
North Dakota.
Wow. Yeah, the wine hub of the Midwest.
Wine hub, yes.
Oh, cool, man. And how long have you been at Cuvaison?
Since 2002.
That's a long time ago. Yeah. And when did you become CEO? And
about 2.5 years ago.
What did you do, Dan? How did you get into the wine world?
Well, yeah, I was born into the wine business. My father started a winery with a partner, both aerospace engineers, actually. That's how it happened.
These engineers, man. And,
so, yeah, they started ZD Wine, so we're the Z of that half. And I worked with the Behringer Group for 10 years, running all their wineries. Wow. And ran a wine company up in Canada. I came back here, and this was an opportunity. I said, gosh, I remember growing up with that brand and that family, and we all kind of traded parts and pumps and helped each other out. And it was a real honor to come in.
Where does the name Cuvaison come from?
Cuvaison's a French winemaking term. The time that the red wines are in contact, or the skins are in contact with the juice during the fermentation phase, is called the Cuvaison.
Hmm. I vaguely Cuvaison remember.
Cuvaison period, so to speak.
Yes.
Dan, your thoughts. I mean, Cuvaison.
Well, this is a really historic property in one respect, because the winery originally was built up in Calistoga, but a lot of the fruit was coming from their vast acreage down in the Carneros. And being a winery based up in the warmer part of the county and then going down to the southern part of the county to get most of their fruit was pretty adventuresome, but it was really visionary. In a lot of ways, it was the beginning of the complete understanding of Napa Valley, what Napa Valley could do best, and that was to focus on better quality regions and not just focus on where you're located. And that was risky. You lost something there in terms of you had to make a leap of faith to say the word estate bottle on the label, but it worked out, mm-hmm. and it really was an adventure.
And your thoughts quickly on the wines.
Fabulous wines. The winemaking team at Cubason has always been top quality. The ownership of the property has, for the last several years, has been from Switzerland. And so the owners are Swiss, but they really focus on high, high quality winemaking techniques and high quality fruit. And so the fruit has been fabulous. I guess your owners are still the same family.
Still the same family.
Schmidheine.
Yeah, Schmidheine family.
They've done a fabulous job of maintaining consistency.
Yeah, absolutely. And matter of fact, the next generation, Alice Schmidheine, came to our 50th anniversary last weekend, and it was the first time that she represented the family at the event. So it was really nice, kind of changing of the guard.
Schmidheine.
Yes.
You got to be careful with that one on the radio. I like that. Steve, how many different wines are you folks making now?
Well, for the most part, we're focused on two varieties, Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, from our Carneros Estate vineyard. But given that the vineyard is in a location where there's a lot of variation, both in elevation and soil type and depth and exposure, we can produce about five different Chardonnays and four different Pinot Noirs off the property. Wow. And we also have a small amount of Syrah, Sauvignon Blanc planted there as well. And so, you know, we end up bottling about 20 wines during the course of a year. But really the four main wines are the Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Sauvignon Blanc, and this rosé that we brought with.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. And today we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the great Cuvaison Winery in Napa. Steve Rogstad is the winemaker, Dan Zapponi. Nice Irish name, by the way, yeah. Zapponi. My real name is Macario. So. Dan is CEO over there. 50 years. By the way, there's a little sidebar. I just walked by a mirror, and I'm wearing a white dress shirt, and it's nothing but wrinkles. It's nothing but wrinkles. I might as well have a sign around my neck that says, "I'm a bachelor and I have no iron." But I don't need the sign, because anyone who looks at me is, yeah. Will you leave me alone, please?
You're on a roll today.
God. All right, it's Cuvaison. 50 years, started in 1969. Dan, let me just briefly do the Dan Berger minute or two on the differences of the wines that tend to come out of Napa versus Sonoma.
Well, very quickly, Napa has focused itself over the last, 25 years or thereabouts on dark, heavy Cabernet Sauvignons, rich, ripe Zinfandels, and that sort of thing. Chardonnay has come essentially from the cooler regions, which is Carneros, and Napa is somewhat of a monoculture compared to Sonoma. Sonoma is a really very divergent wine culture because of all the different subregions and the subtexts of all the subregions. So what Cuvaison has done has been to try to capture some of the more distinctive characteristics of these wines. Your Cabernets are not, that's not your focal point anymore. This is not where, I mean, you made Cabernet years ago, but that was not what you wanted to do going on into the future. Your vineyards down in Carneros are some of the best vineyards in all of Napa Valley, but there's no Cabernet down there that I know of. If you've got one vine, I'd be shocked. But, I mean, the reason is there was a Thanksgiving party that was held down there many years ago. I brought my kids when they were really small, and they were looking for pumpkins that were buried. It's a long story. And we walked all over the damn property, and we found ourselves looking at some of the coldest area of Napa Valley. And your Pinot Noir is really where this all grew up from. This was a kind of an I think that the original intent was to make great Pinot Noir, and that was what you've attempted to do the last several years. And you brought at least, what did you bring, one or two of them?
We brought one Pinot Noir and Actually,
a Syrah. Oh, a Syrah. Okay. Well, and cold climate Syrah is really the thing that's happening these days. So this is really very, very exciting for both the Napa Valley and for the California wine industry, because this is really where the latest trend is happening. Focus on your vineyards.
And what we really enjoy about this, Dan, and that's a great point, is that we are 100% estate on everything. So we move the winery, you know, in the middle of the vineyard. So nothing leaves the property. You know, I always say it's born, reared, and raised and bottled right on the property. So nothing leaves until it looks like a product that you'll put on your table. And we really believe that is how you drive quality.
And those vineyards are fabulous. They've been in the ground a long time.
Let's talk about visiting Cuvée San. They're on Duhigg Road in Napa. Have been for 50 years. Is it the same place for 50 years?
Well, the winery started in Calistoga in 1969.
Oh, okay.
And then, was it 2004?
2004, we built a production facility only in the heart of the vineyard and moved all the wine production down to the vineyard. But in 2010 or 11, we finally opened a tasting room on the property.
Okay, very nice.
Duhigg more or less parallels the Old Sonoma Highway, roughly.
Yeah.
So the tasting room's open daily, but you need an appointment?
Well, we do. We're by appointment, but we'd love to have you call us and make an appointment. We're a very talented team there that is very wine knowledgeable. And what I enjoy about our tasting room is that it's floor-to-ceiling glass, and you sit in the vineyard.
Oh, nice.
And it's really something to actually taste the wines from the vineyard from which they came. And we even do a little vineyard tour. We'll take you on a little rover ride around the property where you can actually see the different blocks and really experience the winery.
How many acres are we looking at these days?
Well, the property itself is 392 acres, of which about 280 are plantable to vines. Wow. And right now we're at about 210 acres of vines.
And you brought a Pinot, right, that Dan was...
We did,
but we've been enjoying a little bit of Sauvignon Blanc and Rosé of Pinot Noir.
Let me go quickly through those two. The Sauvignon Blanc is obviously not aged in barrels at all. It's made along the lines of a European, almost a Sancerre style, but with California fruit popping right up front. Beautiful, beautiful wine. In my... estimation, it needs two more years in the cellar. You know me. But I think that the opportunities are endless for this. This is fabulous fruit. The other one that I really, the rosé is really terrific wine. It's bone dry. Doesn't have any sugar in it at all.
I love rosé of Pinot.
And this is a superb Pinot. This is made direct to press, which means no draining of fruit. And this one is light, delicate. It has wonderful aromatics. Just gorgeous dried cherry, Bing cherry, and strawberries. It's a gorgeous wine. Mm. So what do we have here, sir?
All right, and then this next one we're going to taste is our 2017 Spire Pinot Noir. And this wine takes its name from the kind of the rationale behind planting the vineyard. All of the low-lying areas of the vineyard are planted to Chardonnay and also the hilltops to Chardonnay, which is kind of what you would find in Burgundy. And all of the Pinot Noir is planted right in the hearts of the hills. And so Spire is kind of an homage to hillside Pinot Noir. And we've got several different clones of Pinot Noir that are planted there. This wine is coming primarily from one block. It's Dijon 115 Pinot Noir that has always magically made a really unctuous and rich style of Pinot from our property. But like I said, the property affords an opportunity to make a number of different styles of Pinot Noir, from very elegant and kind of acid-driven Swan clone Pinot Noirs to a wine like this that's a little denser and richer.
Yeah, it looks darker than a lot of Pinot, right?
It looks darker. And visually, that can be a misnomer in a certain way, or kind of a fooler, because this wine has got a certain old-world characteristic to it. It's got that faintly Burgundian almost a leather and a rawhide kind of a component to this, but with the fresh raspberries, strawberries, and also a blackberry component to it, which is unusual. And then all these flavors come together in the aftertaste. This aftertaste is just sensational. It's succulent, but without losing the grip that it needs to go with food.
And it's the 17, you said, Steve?
This is the 17, yes.
Was the rosé an 18?
The rosé was an 18, as was the Sauvignon Blanc. And actually, this wine is slated for release next month at the end of August.
Bottle Barn?
You won't find it at Bottle Barn.
Yeah, this is one of our tasting rooms. We just like to, you know, express those gems, and this is one of the gems out of the tasting room. But we're on Duhigg Road, as you said, 1221 Duhigg. Come on out and enjoy it. This lasts for a few months while we're out there after the release. It's been really one of our popular wines, this expression of the site.
I would never have guessed that this is a Carneros wine. I mean, if I had smelled this completely without knowing what it was, I would say middle reach of Russian River, because it has that sort of personality to it. Great, great wine. Really terrific.
Yeah, I think what sets it up for me as a Carneros Pinot is we tend to get a lot of spice character in the Pinots, kind of a nice blend of red fruits and black fruits, so raspberry and black cherry. But I think those notes you were hitting on, like leather and that sort of comment, really is speaking to that kind of clove and cardamom spice that I find a lot in Carneros.
Now, Pinot grapes are thin. The skins are thin, right?
Yes.
Which makes it...
just like winemakers. Very thin skin.
Yes. Thin skin. And it makes it tough sometimes to deal with those grapes and make great Pinot.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing variety. It's, you know, it's got great structure, great innate concentration, but not a lot of phenolic material because the skins are so thin. So, you know, you kind of play this dance with treating it. You know, you want to fully extract it, but you want to do it gently. So it's sort of an oxymoron, but it really works out well when it works out.
Something else that's happening here, which is unusual in one respect, is that I think Steve had the opportunity, correct me if I'm wrong, to do some additional blending of going to a different clone as well. The 115 gave you, I think, is really distinctive, and it's unusual because in so many cases people are using the more modern clones and they're getting more intensity, more depth, but this wine doesn't need that depth. It already has plenty. What it bases its persona on more than anything else is the complexity, and this wine is really complex considering, and I don't know how many people are going to buy this wine and put it away, but this wine is too good to drink young. It's really too good to drink young.
Really?
It's just it's sensational wine. It just needs more time and bottle.
So Dan Lay It Down Burger would, what, give it about 20 years? And
no, it would never go that far because, you know, Pinot's a little risky. But I would say if you don't give this wine 5 more years, you're missing the point.
And the decanter in this situation wouldn't...
Decant this wine. If you buy this wine today, put it in a decanter and wait a good 2 or 3 hours because this wine is just beginning to explode.
Yeah. Yeah.
But start your vertical now.
You're going to start your vertical right now.
50 years they've been doing it in Napa at Cuvaison Winery. You guys must have some events or an event coming up to celebrate? Or
We do. It was last weekend, actually. You want to come?
No, way to go, Dan. We
always have a lot of fun events, and if you check our website, I think our next one is a lobster feed, which will be down in the vineyard, and we're going to be opening some of these fun wines and maybe splash you with some bubbles and really enjoy some nice lobster right out in the vineyard before harvest kicks off.
Yeah. Cuvaison.com, Cuvaison. Get that? Cuvaison.com. Roots in the Napa Valley for 50 years. And there's a Syrah, Steve, that you brought.
This is also a 2017. I thought this would be fun to show Dan. We were talking a little earlier about Cuvaison's history with Merlot and the success they had with Merlot, especially in the 80s. And John Thatcher, who was my predecessor at Cuvaison, had planted a small amount of Syrah. And it's interesting, I was managing a vineyard right next door to Cuvée-San at the time, and we had also planted a little Syrah, and both of us were thinking that this would be a good hedge for Merlot in a year that was really cold, you know, when those kind of green characters were sticking out. You could just splash a little Syrah into it and give it a little more oomph. But we started making the Syrah off the vineyard, and it was so good on its own, we never planted it.
I always liked Syrah.
Well, in this case, you're dealing with cool climates, Syrah, and I think this is a really distinctive and stylish wine. Some of that rotundone component, the black pepper, a little bit of plum, but fresh plum, not the old dried plum. And the more you have this in the glass, the more it starts to open up. And the more I swirl this, I get more nuances to it. I'm very impressed by this wine, and I'm really surprised that you even made it as a standalone. So obviously you don't have very much. How many cases did you make?
This is 400 cases, and yes, we don't have very much Syrah planted, but what we do have, we really like. And we named this wine Diablo, which is the predominant soil type in the Carneros Vineyard. It's a very difficult, challenging clay soil that tends to really devigorate the vines and drive concentration. So it's named in honor of that.
For those of you who missed the celebration, the event at Cuvée-San last weekend, here's Steve and Dan to tell us all about it. Relive that day.
Well, we'll relive it. It was actually very exciting. One of the things I think is really interesting about Cuvée-San is it has the same label that it's used for since 69. And I talked to the original designer, who was the original winemaker, Tom Cottrell.
I've always loved the labels on Cuvée-San.
It's an old stained glass window he had made in the old cellar. And we retrieved that door, the original curved top door, which is what it's based on, and it now is prominently displayed in our tasting room, which is a more modern approach. It makes for a really great Instagram moments. That's what we used as you came in to the event last weekend. And the Park Hills and the Cottrells, as I said, were there as well. We came up and did a little speech, and I thought it was really fun to show that the wineries of Napa Valley, you know, were designed and built and, you know, worked and incubated by families coming in following a dream. Yeah. And we can't forget that. And this was bookending that, as I said, when you had the first winemaker to the current winemaker.
That is cool.
And I thought the other fun part was, you know, we have now a really young audience that's coming to the winery. A lot of millennials coming in from the city and have just discovered Cuvée-San, and they don't know the old Cuvée-San. They don't know the story. But we have wine club members that started out there, and we have people that gotten, you know, that got married in the caves and remember it from then. And so they all kind of got together and mingled and shared stories. And so at the end of the day, there was a lot of people exchanging phone numbers cards, and really had a good time.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Our guests today are Steve Rogstad, the winemaker at Cuvée-San, and Dan Zapponi, president and CEO. They're celebrating 50 years over in Napa Valley, Cuvée-San. And they're going to start throwing spitballs at me here, my Dan Berger and Kathy Ratto. I want to remind you about the podcast. Yes, we've got the California Wine Country podcast. It's available. So basically every segment we do every week goes up on the podcast. And you can go to any place that offers great podcasts, or calwinecountry.com. And now Dan Berger.
Don't forget to subscribe.
Subscribe. Thank you. Well, you know me, Mr. Online and Web Guy. Gentlemen, it's an honor and a pleasure, and congratulations on 50 years with Cuvée-San.
Thank you.
We already talked about last week that everyone missed.
and very, very consistent winemaking from Steve over the last several years. This has just been a property to watch. It's been under the radar. Your 50th anniversary shines a little highlight on you, and this is great. But more importantly, taste the wines. You won't believe them.
Thank you.
Cuvée-San.com, and you should definitely check out the website. You can find out everything, including the wine club, the winery, visiting there, the various events, etc. That's that new interweb thing. This is going to be big, I think. Look at all that information I'm finding on that. All right, any last thoughts, Daniel?
Only one. If you don't, if you want to buy wine at retail, that's great. But sometimes the best values are in the tasting room. So try out all these wonderful tasting rooms that are up and down the valley, and we'll see what happens.
All right, guys. Well, here's to another 50. I'll be around. I ain't going anywhere. So.
Yeah. We already started it, the next 50.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Very cool.
Start your vertical collection right now.
Do we know who we have next week?
No, we don't.
We don't? We'll have someone.
We're winging it.
Yeah, well, it's the drive. It's the only way we work.
Yeah, I get that feeling.
Yeah. We wing it all. We always look at each other and go, it's all smoke and mirrors.
Well, we do have four bottles open in front of us right now.
Yes. And they're not full.
Steve Rockstad, winemaker, Dan Zapponi, CEO. It is 50 years at Cuvée Son Winery in Napa Valley. Thank you, gentlemen, so much, and we'll see you again at some point.
Absolutely. Come down and visit us.
Yeah, I need to do that, man. Definitely. That lobster thing sounds good. Let me work on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, come on over, and thanks for having us in, and great to catch up with you, Dan.
Good to see you again.
All right, Dan, we'll see you next week.
Yep.